hits your eye like a big pizza pie. That's amore.
I'm Kendra.
I'm Michael.
And this is Pizza Nerds, a podcast about making great pizza at home.
All right, this is the fifth episode in our New York style series. Today we're talking about technique.
And speaking of technique, who puts all the technique into this? I'm trying every single time into this podcast.
The tech Thanks. Into the technique.
There it is. Well done. Thanks for is our friend Jason, our producer Jason. Hi, Jason. I'm so sorry. I've looped you in. It's unfortunate. Okay. So have you, what'd you learn this week in making pizza? Have you learned anything new? Other than that you have the capacity to make a million pizzas over the course of like a month?
Right. So we actually had pizza together last weekend. We made, I think, about 10 or 12 dough balls.
We did. It was a lot.
We didn't cook all of them.
Four different recipes.
Four recipes.
Yeah.
Plus a couple of different types of sauce. It was great.
One thing I feel like we learned that we mentioned in a previous episode was about Autolus. Like, I hadn't tried that in pizza dough for a while, but we learned that technique of mixing the pizza dough at first and just letting it hang out for like 15 minutes changes everything.
Right.
Like, to the point where you don't have to stress as much about what flour you use, like what salt, like you, it gives you a lot more options if you just let your dough rest for a little while before you need it. So I feel like that's a really valuable learning.
That's a great learn.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, we're talking about tips and techniques for New York style pizza in particular. I think that the best place, because we haven't talked about this yet, is what surface to cook your pizza on. There's stone, there's steel, or there is like a sheet pan if you don't have either of those things. But neither stone nor steel are that expensive. Yeah. So it's a really great thing to invest in if you are interested in making great pizza at home. It makes a huge difference, your surface, right?
I would say that is the most important thing in terms of cooking.
Yeah.
Steel can be a little bit more expensive. Stones are not very expensive to get. I did figure out that you can break stones. If you, I tried to do a deep dish style pizza in a cast iron skillet and put it on top of a hot stone to try to cook the bottom quicker.
Yeah.
And it shattered the stone.
Man.
Never knew that would have happened.
That's probably a shocking experience.
Yeah, it was shocking. And I actually had done two of them. They both broke. The same bake.
So you know that's what it was though.
That's definitely what it
was.
That's
crazy.
Yeah.
Well, see, the thing that makes it so important for any style pizza, but I feel like especially for New York, because you want you want even pizza for all of them, but for, you know, square pizzas, you're cooking them in a specific pan.
Right.
But for New York style and Neapolitan style, you're cooking them on some sort of surface. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really important. And I don't know that we've talked about this much either. You need to preheat your stone or your steel.
Yeah.
I turn it on an hour before we're cooking.
Yep. Me too.
At 550, the highest the oven will go.
Yep.
Because when you put the pizza on it, versus like if you made the pizza on a like a sheet pan and then just put the sheet pan in a hot oven.
Yep.
Completely different experience, texture, all the things. So it makes a massive difference. If you want to have great pizza at home, you need a steel or a stone.
It is the way that you're going to get a crispy, not a crunchy crispy, but just like a nice browned bottom.
Because even all the things,
you need that to cook the bottom of your dough while the oven cooks the top. Because that's what needs to happen.
That's kind of the dance. We experienced that last week cooking pizza at your house where we're just like staring at the oven like you don't want the cheese to burn.
Yep.
Like it's bubbling and going crazy because it's a real hot oven. Mm-hmm. But then the bottom, like it needs to cook from both sides.
Yep.
And so a stone or a steel really helps you do that.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. What about shaping dough? Because I feel like that's kind of a, like turning it from a dough ball into a flat circle can be a little bit scary for some people who have never done it before.
Yeah.
Or even for me, like I still feel nervous tossing my dough into the air and I've made a lot of pizza.
Yeah.
So, but you're like to the point where the last time I was at home and I tried to toss a pizza and my boys, 7 and 9, they walked in the kitchen and Ben, who doesn't mince words, you know, he just says what he thinks. And he walks in and he was like, "You're not as good at that as Mr. Michael is." It's like, I know, man, I'm doing my best.
So I will say that I don't think tossing is really necessary. If you want to do it for fun, that's really the only reason.
It looks fun.
I think the reason tossing is done in shops is because it's quick. It's like people who know how to do that well, it's like the fastest way to shape a pizza. So it makes sense if you're making one after another after another. But if you're just doing it at home, there's no reason to stress about doing that like at all.
Yeah. Don't let it stop you.
The more important things are like, so maybe we just walk through how we would shape it.
Go for it.
So the first thing is just to get some kind of a container of flour.
Yeah.
Use just the flour that you used for the pizza, whatever that was. I just get it like a little, I usually actually use a pie pan because it's like a good size for that. Put a few handfuls of flour in there. So then you have your refrigerated dough ball. You'll ideally have taken it out of the refrigerator like an hour before you're ready to shape the dough.
Basically, when you preheat your oven, pull out your dough.
Yeah.
That's kind of like just a really helpful rule of thumb.
And the main reason for that is because it's going to make stretching it a lot easier.
So much easier.
If it's cold, it's going to want to keep pulling back into its dough ball constantly. And so if it just starts to get warmed up, just even an hour's worth, it starts to stretch easily. And so going to drop your dough ball out of whatever container it was in into that flour.
Yep.
And flip it over. Just sort of make sure the whole thing's covered. You really can't put too much flour on the outside because whatever doesn't stick, it'll just go back into that container. You have no problem there.
I think the difference there, because you would hear that if you, like when you're kneading the dough in the earlier stage, and if you knead it in a bunch of flour, it actually does make a difference because the dough is absorbing the flour.
Ah, right.
This dough is like, it's done. Yes. So the flour is just making it not stick to things. It makes it not stick to your hands. It's just easier to work with, but it's not like the dough is absorbing new flour, which is going to change the ratios and the texture and stuff. So don't use flour to knead early in the process, but yeah, you really can't use too much. And then you don't feel like as, like it's not as delicate. Yeah. You know, you're not as worried about like, it's so fragile and I'm going to break it. It's like, no, just put flour on both sides. And as you stretch it, it won't stick to your hand. Like it's so much easier that way.
Yes. Yeah. And to that point about being delicate, I've seen these pizzeria guys, they just almost slap the dough around.
They're very violent.
They're like pushing it out and flipping it and slapping it back down on the counter. So I do think that you can be pretty like tactile with it.
And if your dough is tearing, then it means that not enough gluten was developed anyway. Right. And so that's why we really love an overnight rise, not just because of flavor, but because the longer it goes within reason, the stronger the gluten gets. It's not necessarily about it being kneaded for a really, really long time, like with some breads, but with pizza dough, like the longer it sits, the more the gluten, the stronger the structure gets, which makes it not tear as much, which is another reason to make it rise longer.
Yeah. And so, okay, so you got your dough ball in the flour. What I will typically do is while it's still in that container, start to just sort of push the dough down into the pan toward the countertop and kind of avoid the very middle of the dough. And then also don't squeeze the very edges out flat. Mm-hmm. Like, so you're basically starting to shape a little bit of a crust around the whole edge.
It has like a UFO sort of vibe.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, like a 1970s movie UFO.
So you sort of have a lip around the edge and then it sort of domes up a little bit in the middle.
Yeah.
And so once you've started to get that shape a little bit, then I would pull it out onto the counter. And there's a couple of different ways you can do this. But basically the big picture idea is just that you're going to continue to like retain that shape while stretching it bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to overhandle the lip around it.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to let that middle be kind of the last thing that stretches out.
Yeah.
Because that's where you want to get your size from.
And that's also where you get the uniform circle from. Like before I started watching U shape dough, I would just take the dough ball out and then just kind of randomly try to flatten it with my hands. And I would start in the middle and it was always like oblong and like a weird shape, and it still works fine. It still bakes up.
But
if you just like want really pretty round pizza, like your pizzas are shockingly uniform for being homemade pizzas.
Uh-huh.
And so, that's why it's because you've learned kind of that technique. So like if you avoid the middle and you avoid the actual outer edge and you just start to like save the middle for the last, which feels kind of counterintuitive a little bit because you're like, how's it going to get bigger? Yeah. But you're creating the shape. Yeah. So then the excess dough just sort of contributes to the even shape. Like the even shape is already being created.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the way you do that then, so once you have it, once you've started to increase that, that size on the countertop, then you want to lift it up and almost, let it droop over the back of your hands. Mm-hmm. And
but you can flour again if you need to, dip the backs of your hands in that bowl.
Totally. You can just keep at it. If it feels sticky on any part of it, add some flour. But you're just going to let the gravity of the dough itself sort of pull itself bigger. And so you'll be rotating it around. I'm doing this with my hand to try to like describe it. You're going to be rotating the whole dough around in your hands and sort of just pulling, starting with your hands together and then sort of pulling them apart and then moving them back together, rotating the dough, pulling them apart a little bit, essentially just slowly stretching that dough, letting the gravity do a lot of that work so you're not damaging it or anything like that. You mentioned it breaking earlier. If it breaks, you just stick it back together again. And
but I think one of the reasons too that it breaks is because it's uneven. Uh-huh. It's like the weight of the dough is unevenly distributed, which is why you leave the middle thicker. Like you say that for the end, because when you put that part on your hands and it stretches down, then it's like, now it's even. Yeah. Now it's not like it's going to tear. No, it's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. So it's just such a good, it doesn't seem like being as thoughtful about how you shape it should make that much of a difference. But this is one of those things that it really, really does.
Yeah.
It really helps make the experience more pleasant as well as the pizza more uniform. So again, we'll put a link to a video to kind of like, so you can see it.
Yeah.
See
and the that's the fun part. You've put all the time into making that dough, into waiting for it. You know, this is stretching it. You get your hands are on it. It's just kind of fun to make that and then get to cook it. So
What about getting the pizza in the oven? This is a little bit true of both New York and Neapolitan that we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
But in terms of getting the pizza in the oven, you taught me something that I now will always do. And that is to put the pizza on a piece of parchment paper, which I don't know why I didn't do that before because I use parchment paper for everything, but I never did before. And so you will like cut a circle of parchment paper. And then once you're finished shaping the dough, put that down on the parchment. Do you flour it at all, or it's just?
Yeah, I usually do flour it a little bit. I mean, it's not as that method is not as purist for sure.
It's not, but it's a lot easier.
But I saw. I mean, I remember first seeing you do the peel.
Yeah,
you're very good with getting it off the peel.
I like using the peel.
Yeah, and I do too. I think the thing that made me go to the parchment paper was, you know, when you have kids running around or you have friends over, if you have to really be on the ball to use the peel.
Because
if you don't do it pretty quickly, it'll stick.
It will
and
stick.
And then you have a real mess.
Yeah.
That's like, there's nothing more frustrating than putting in all that time and then your dough.
You have an accidental calzone.
Ah,
that's what happens. Yeah. That's, which is not terrible, but it's very, but here's a tip though. If you do have a peel and you're not using parchment, you definitely want to have like some texture obviously between the dough and the peel.
Yeah.
You could use just flour. I use a combination of flour and just a little bit of cornmeal, like 60-40, 70-30, less cornmeal than flour, but it has just enough grit to kind of keep it moving. And when I put the dough on there, you're adding the sauce and the toppings and it gets heavier, not a lot heavier, but enough that like, if it wasn't well floured before, you're going to have an accidental calzone situation.
Yep.
So, as I'm adding things, I'll just keep giving it a shake so that that it's not sticking. And then the trick is, cause I learned this from my sister was actually telling me about, she was making pizza. She's like, I couldn't get it. Like it flipped every single time. Like it turned into a calzone every single time. What am I doing wrong? And what she was doing, which I think a lot of people do, is you think that you're going to put the tip of the peel, right? The tip that's closest to the oven on the end of the stone or steel that is closest to the door.
Okay.
That's not what you want to do.
Right.
You send the peel all the way to the back of the stone or the steel.
Right. Yep.
And then like you just give it enough of a shake that the end of the dough like hits it. And then you just pull the peel out.
That's right.
But cause it looks like you're supposed to be fancy and you're like shaking the whole pizza into there, but you don't want to do that. You're just, I mean, it's just like carrying, it's like putting a sleeping baby into a crib. You just take it to the end and just like pull your hands out from under the baby. Don't mess with the baby. Don't wake up the baby. Pizza's like a baby.
Yeah.
And then it won't turn into a calzone for you.
Yeah.
Calzones are great, but not when you don't want one.
Right. Yep. No, I totally agree.
But if you don't want to use the peel, I mean, you still put the parchment on the peel, and that's how you put it in. And you just leave the parchment. It's like pizza parchment cooking surface.
So the trick with the parchment paper is just that you don't have to worry about it sticking. So if you're distracted or you're like just wanting to not have to think about that, you can put it the same thing. Like you said, I still sprinkle a little bit. I don't know if you actually have to or not, but put the dough down right on the parchment paper, then use a peel under the parchment paper, put the whole pizza in. After like a minute, the parchment paper can just slide right out. Yep. You can just open your oven, pull this parchment paper out, and the pizza's directly on your stone and cooking just like it would.
Exactly. It doesn't affect the browning. And I've left the parchment in the whole time.
It can stay.
Yeah. And it doesn't affect the, I mean, it still browns and gets even and all the things. So that's a really nice, that's kind of a nice little trick that works really well.
And if it takes some of the anxiety out of it, you should do that.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. Last question. How do you know when a pizza is done? Because I think especially with New York dough, as I made lots of these, it's hard to overcook, say, a Neapolitan dough because the char is good. Like you like for it to get kind of crunchy. But with a New York style, I feel like if it's overcooked, it just gets like crunchy in a cracker way, not in a great way. Like it just really affects the texture a lot. Mm-hmm. So what do you look for to know that a pizza is done?
So definitely going to want to take a peel and look under the pizza.
Yeah.
But I will say that typically if you're using a stone or a steel, the bottom of your pizza, and if you've preheated it properly, the bottom is going to get done.
Yeah.
I mean, that stone or steel will cook the bottom of the pizza really well. So typically what I've struggled most with is that balance between the crust getting golden enough and not overcooking the cheese. That's where I a lot of times have trouble.
Yeah.
The cheese seems to cook a little quicker for me, but we didn't talk about this. The way that I've typically done, cooked this kind of pizza in our home oven is with the broiler on.
Okay.
And so that, I think you do that a little bit differently, but we have just a standard, like, you know, oven with like a, whatever the square kind of size oven is. And so what I'll do is preheat it at 550 for that whole hour.
Right.
With the stone in it, then turn it off and turn the broiler on high and put that in. And that way what's happening is it's cooking, the stone is cooking the bottom and then that high heat is cooking the top. And it's kind of mimicking maybe a little bit closer to what a commercial oven would do, because a pizzeria oven of this style pizza is probably cooking at somewhere like 850 or 900 degrees.
Yeah.
Obviously our home ovens aren't going to do that. And so, but it just puts a little more intense heat on it. Sometimes you have to like play with it if you do that and open the door. A lot of the ovens, if they reach a certain temperature, that top heater,
the lighter,
won't come on.
Yeah.
And so you have to trick it into thinking it needs to come on. It's just, you know, you can do that if you need to.
I have never actually done the broiler thing, but we have we have a double oven, but the top oven is like really, really skinny. It's a really, it's not a deep, it's not a tall oven.
Right.
And so it kind of does the same thing. But I learned this on like a cooking show. If you want to, you're trying to limit the amount of space where the heat is circulating to make the pizza cook faster and more evenly. And so you can do that with the broiler and the preheated pan. You can do that with a tiny oven if you have one like I do. Or if you move your oven rack to like kind of as high as it will go in your oven and then put your stone or steel or whatever on that, just make sure there's enough like room for you to be able to slide the pizza onto it. But if you can kind of limit the space and move the pan as high, as far to the top of the oven as you can, it kind of creates that a little bit where the heat is more efficient.
Yep.
And so it's a more even bake and it kind of like can mimic having a higher heat, even though we only get to 550 or whatever. So that's kind of what we do, is we use that top oven or move it, you know, higher on the top of the oven. So
yeah, that's smart. I've also heard a similar thing where people use two stones in that way. And they'll have two stones, but on racks pretty close to each other and
put
the pizza on the bottom stone.
Oh.
And that way some of that heat from the top one.
Smart.
Like does what you're talking about.
Yes.
That trap, that like creating a little
smaller. Yeah, it's like a trap.
Area.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally. So we really do feel like, and we have on the website at pizzanerds.co, our favorite tools and stuff. we really do think that if you want to make good pizza, we've said this before, but like it's such a great investment, not a whole lot of money to get a stone or a cast iron pizza pan or a steel. And I just keep mine in the oven. Like I just keep it in the oven. And if I need more space, I'll pull it out. It's not a big deal, but I just store it in the oven and we make pizza enough that like it works out great that way. But it's just really worth it to have good tools. It makes the whole process just so much more pleasant.
Yes.
And that's, you want pizza to be pleasant. You don't want pizza to be stressful.
Right.
Really, really sad.
You want to have fun with it.
You do want to have fun with it. So we will have a list of like all those resources and tips and stuff like that at pizzanerds.co. We'll also share our favorite pizza experiences on Instagram at pizzanerds.co. And I think that's it for today.
Yeah. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Michael. She's Kendra. We're glad you're here and that you're a pizza nerd too. We'll see you next time.
Bye. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.